things. Philippians chapter 4 tonight and verse 10. If you're able to stand, we ask that you do so as we show our respect for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul, writing here to the church of Philippi, said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Let's pray. Father, again tonight, we're so thankful for your precious word. We praise you because the power and the wisdom and the life that is in thy word. And I pray tonight that you would help me as your servant, again, to bring a message that would honor you and uplift your name and be a blessing and a help to those that are with us tonight. I pray, Father, that you would work in our midst tonight and bring about decisions and commitments and encouragement and challenge to hearts that would serve to honor yourself and to further your kingdom. Get glory to yourself, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. I want to very quickly, if you don't mind tonight, and if you do, I'm going to do it anyway, so just stay with me. I just very quickly like to review where we've been as far as the conference messages that God had laid on our heart to bring this week. And Sunday morning, we preached a message, of course, from the life of David, who said, "Is there not a cause?" And we talked about the cause of Christ, which is the Great Commission. And we talked about there needs to be a commitment to a person and a commitment to a mission and a commitment to a way of life. I'm not going to re-preach that, but I think sometimes it's good to rehearse in our minds where we've been. On Sunday night, we preached a message simply entitled "Missions, Not a Novelty, Rather the Heartbeat of the Church." That's one of those messages that I was kind of preaching to the choir, I think, as they say. I know this is a missions-minded church. You love missionaries, and you've had a part in it, not only as far as finances, but prayers, encouragement, personnel out of your ministry here and so forth. But never forget, and maybe some here has not been a part of this heritage, no doubt some have not been a part of this over the years, never forget that missions is not a sideline, it's not a novelty. The Great Commission is the mission of the church, and I hope that that challenge went forth in a way it was understood. Monday night, simply preached the message, "Here am I," or "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Here am I to give, to go, to pray, to encourage, to do whatever God would give us to do. Would to God that we'd maintain in all of our lives a spirit of, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Would to God it'd be that way. And then last night we talked about equal parts. We talked about how the spoils divided up in the life of David there when they had gone to avenge the burning of Ziklag and to get their families back. And those that go down to the battle part alike with those who stay by the stuff. And I hope that was an encouragement to you as we brought that message last night. Tonight, I want to bring a message with the title of "To Your Account." To Your Account. The text we've just read here in Philippians chapter 4, I think is best described as an awkward thank you from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. When I say awkward, Paul was saying, "Thank you, you've been a blessing to me and you've been a help to me." But he said, "It's not that I desire a gift." You follow what I'm saying? He was saying, you know, I'm going to be okay regardless because God will take care of me. I can do all things through Christ. I've learned how, you know, to be exalted and abased and so forth. And he was wanting to commend them for what they did, But he wanted to know it wasn't, and I'll go into that in the message, but he wanted to know it wasn't about him desiring a gift so he could be well-to-do or anything like that. It was for the furtherance of the gospel. So having said that, tonight, let's just delve into this text and look at these things. This will be one of those teaching, preaching messages. And I think we can use those and benefit from those from time to time, especially in the light of what we're approaching here coming this Lord's Day. Notice, first of all, Paul's strength and steadfastness in verses 11 to 13. Of course, the famous verse in 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I have to admit, as a young Christian, I had in my mind, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That means I can do anything. You know, really, if you really study what that means, it does mean he enables us to do things that we couldn't otherwise do. But the idea of I can do means I'm up to or able for all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He said, he's talking about the fact, and I'll just give the scriptures here. When he's saying he could be content in whatsoever state I'm in. He's not talking about Tennessee or Kentucky or whatever. He's talking about whatsoever condition I'm in. I've learned to be content. The circumstances or the situation, whether it's desirable, like things you want or wish for, or undesirable, things that are not really wanted in our lives but sometimes come our ways, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The Apostle Paul's saying there, I can do that. And then he says, I know how to be abased. That is, means to be reduced to low estate or a lower condition or a lower standard, if you please. And I know how to abound. That is to have plenty and be blessed in that way. And he's saying, I'm ready for it all. He said, I'm instructed in verse 12 to be full and to be hungry. And I'm instructed to abound and to suffer need. And what he's saying here is, as he thanks them for what they've done, he's saying, even if it wasn't done, my God would have seen me through. The Lord had revealed to Paul, or instructed him, as he says, that he would have times of blessings where he would abound and times of trials where he would be abased. Any of us that's walked with the Lord and served the Lord any length of time, we know that's true in all of our lives, and it does happen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus said it this way, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, we all have what we call the good times and the hard times, and in Christ I can do all things. I'm up to these. Paul could face and endure the hard times, and he could enjoy the good times without faltering or being sidetracked. I won't spend a lot of time on that. He said he could do this through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It was Jesus who enabled Paul to do all things. And I'm not going to get off on this tangent tonight, but one of my favorite things to think about is God's enabling grace. Thank God, by His grace, that's His Spirit and His Word working in and through our lives to give us the desire and the power to do what we ought to do, and to be what we ought to be, and to serve like we ought to serve. That's enabling grace, and it's enabling grace that allows us to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I do know He holds my hand, and He will see us through. The Lord gave him strength, and the Lord gave him perspective to deal with the different circumstances of life. He said, I know how to be abased and in need, and trust the Lord, and keep serving. Please, whatever you do, when the hard times come to your life, don't get the poochy lip. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Keep your chin up. Keep your nose clean. Keep doing what's right. Keep your Bible open. Keep serving God. There's a better day coming for those that are faithful. And God sees us through. And the Apostle Paul is a great example of that. We're not going to go into all the trials and things that he faced, but suffice it to say, he paid a great price to have the ministry he had as the great Apostle Paul. He kept serving, kept trusting. But he also said, I know how to abound and have plenty. And by the way, many Christians do not handle the abounding very well. Many Christians don't handle prosperity very well, whether it's financial and material prosperity, or it's the prosperity of being elevated in the eyes of other people. You know, Paul had it right. He said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, I count them but dung. That's pretty straightforward talk, isn't it? But he learned there how to handle both situations. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He kept serving God, whether his pockets were full or his pockets were empty. Everybody get it? I've seen people serve God when the times were tough, and when they experienced some prosperity, it's like they didn't have time for God anymore. They didn't have focus on Him anymore, rather than using the prosperity He's given us to serve Him better. Paul knew that he could do all things through Christ, and I want you to know tonight, so can we. Now, I want you to notice here the generosity of the Philippians in verse 10. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that your care of me hath flourished. Your care of me hath flourished. This is where he's thanking them for the offerings that he sent to help care for his material needs. He says, at the last. And what he's saying there is, at last, or finally. If you look back in chapter 2 and verse 27, it tells us what he's talking about there. It's talking about Epaphroditus, who was the messenger from the church at Philippi, who brought the offering to Paul so his needs would be met, and he ran into sickness along the way, and it took him longer to get there than what he thought. And it says there in verse 27 of Philippians 2, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. That's talking about Epaphroditus. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And Paul was saying there, I would have felt horrible if he had died trying to come and do something for me. Verse 28, I sent him there for the more carefully, in other words, when he sent him back home, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. In other words, think highly of him, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, their offering hadn't got there, and if he died en route, that offering may never get to Paul, and this guy pushed himself to the brink of death to try to get that offering to Paul, who needed that for his life and for his ministry. And so he's thanking him here, and he's noting the generosity of the Philippians in sending. And in verse 14, back in chapter 4, where he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, notwithstanding, or maybe we would say it, nevertheless, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. What he's saying here, God will take care of me, but he used you to do it this time. He used you to do it this time and help further the work. You were the only ones, he said, who helped me with offerings in the early part of my ministry. He calls that the beginning of the gospel. In verse 15, and he's commending the church there for their offerings that he'd sent in the past and the one that they had sent most recently while he was where he was. I want you to stop and think with me here. Everybody getting the idea? He's thanking them for what they've done. The Philippians were faithful, generous supporters of the great missionary, the Apostle Paul. You know, I like supporting good missionaries. I like supporting missionaries that are out there to get something done for the Lord. Wouldn't it be something to have said, I gave toward the ministry of the Apostle Paul? What an opportunity. What an investment in the cause of Christ. Are you with me on this? I hear some yes and so forth out there. But, I mean, all of us want on board for that. I don't know about you in the secular realm. I've, you know, tried to save some for retirement over the years and so forth, or whatever happens after I'm pastoring. I don't want to retire, maybe refocus or something, redirect ministry or whatever, but try to do that. And it seems like every time one of my friends got a good investment, after it had made all it was going to make, then I'd put my money in. And I've had that happen a few times. If anybody knows what I'm talking about there, that's not the best time to put it in. You know, there couldn't have been a bad time to put in to the Apostle Paul's ministry. What an investment. By the way, you say, well, I only got in on the end. I only got the last year of his life. Well, I don't have the which ones or what, but during those last years of his life, he was writing books of the Bible. We have the same privilege and the same opportunity today as we support good missionaries. As we support missionaries, we are investing in the same kind of ministry as the Philippian church invested in. You say, what kind of ministry? A Great Commission ministry. A ministry of winning souls and baptizing people and training them to win souls and baptize people and train them and start churches. And it goes on and on and on. We invest in those kinds of ministries. We're talking to our brother Jonathan here and about the ministry in Japan. I think I mentioned that years ago our church supported a missionary by the name of Bill Hathaway. And I remember that he had been supported when I became pastor, but several years after I was pastor, we supported him. The last time he was home, we knew that he wasn't going back to the field. His wife having health problems and so forth. He'd be in the States. And he not only reported to our church, but we sat down and talked about it. He had been there 25 years. And as a result of his going, there were 25 churches in Japan. Now, he didn't start every one of them. He started them, won people to Christ, trained men who went out and started churches. And he started some of the churches, but those that he won to Christ started churches that started churches. And over a 25-year period, there were 25 churches in Japan when he left there that were not there when he went. And you know those churches are still going on? And one of the things I never heard of before, but Brother Hathaway, when he came back, you know, his wife couldn't take the rigors of the foreign mission field, but he ended up taking a small church in Missouri, and they had some needs there and so forth, and the churches in Japan took up money and sent and helped them with some projects over here in the States. Which there's nothing wrong with that. But I think about our missionaries that we give to, we help support. You know, every once in a while, a faithful old saint of God will go home to be with the Lord, and I've heard people say things like, well, I'll bet he had a great reward waiting on him. And you know the right answer to that is, it's not all in yet. It's not all in yet. You know, as you invest your life in your missions, you're investing in people who invest themselves in people's lives, who will invest themselves in people's lives. And you know, some of those tallies will not be finished until the trumpet sounds. For men and women who've been faithful to God over the years. What I'm saying is, it's quite an investment when we invest in good missionaries. Now notice Paul's motive for receiving their gifts and for commending their desire to support him. In verse 17 he said, not because I desire a gift, not just so he would be cared for, so that he would have plenty. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'm going to be okay. But he said, I'm glad you gave and I'm commending you because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Those who supported the Apostle Paul had a part in what he accomplished for the Lord. The way I'm reading it, their account is their treasures that they laid up in heaven by helping to support his ministry. The Bible, I think, is telling us there that by the fruit that the Philippians bore in their own life and ministry, there's treasures in heaven, but also by the fruit that was borne by Paul and anybody else they might have supported in missionary endeavor, the fruit that they bore. Some of that was laid to their account as well. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think we're all familiar with those verses. What I'm trying to say tonight, I'm trying to come across with, is when we give to missions, we are having a part in what the missionaries do for the Lord, and a portion of their accomplishments is laid to your account. And I think about Shenandoah Baptist Church. Did I hear it right? What, 76 or 7 missionaries? Whatever it is, 77, 87, whatever it was, the number of projects that you're having a part, that's casting it out there, isn't it? That's having a part of it in a lot of things. And I believe not only does this church, you know, like the entity of the church have a part in that, but you that give to missions, you have a part in that personally. You've personally invested in these ministries by your missions giving. By this, we're laying up treasures in heaven. And I think about the Apostle Paul and our missionaries, and the account is still growing and being built too. By the way, do you know that most people who come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, Paul has a part in it? Still today. Who do you think God used to pen the Romans Road? Amen? I know he's inspired by the Spirit of God. But that's the same with us. And not that we're inspired by the Spirit of God in everything we do. God's the doer of it. He just uses us as vessels. And their rewards. The gift that they sent to Epaphroditus, by Epaphroditus. Paul said, I have all and abound. I am full. In other words, what you sent was more than sufficient. His needs were met. They even abounded. And by the way, I don't have any problem if the missionaries get to abound some in some of those things. I don't think we ought to have to say poor missionary. Amen? And I'm glad that our missionaries are cared for on an adequate scale. He said, I have all and abound. I am full. And Paul called it an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He's comparing it to the Old Testament sacrifices. When the children of Israel would offer up those sacrifices, when the high priest or the priest would offer those up, it talked about an odor of a sweet smell in the nostrils of God, which means it pleased God. And he said, your offering pleased God. Our missions offerings that go to good missionaries are spiritual sacrifices to God. They're an odor of a sweet smell to God, an acceptable and well-pleasing act or offering or gift to God. They are treasures that we're laying up in heaven. Thank God for salvation, the gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for the gift. Above all else, I'm grateful for the gift. But God's Word says there will also be great rewards for those saved people who faithfully worship and serve and follow the Lord in their lives. Those are brought about by our lives and ministries, as well as by the lives and ministries of those that we support with our finances and our prayers and our words of encouragement and our help. And then he said in verse 17, I desire fruit that may abound. I've already said that. He said to your account, I desire fruit that may abound. Paul's great desire was that he might bear fruit. He wanted to see people get saved. He wanted to see people growing in grace. He wanted to see backsliders restored. He wanted to see churches started. He wanted to abound in fruit bearing. That is, he wanted to do all he could, accomplish all that he could. I'm telling you, our missionaries don't go to the field with a desire to be mediocre or so-so. They go to do all they can for the Lord. Amen? They pick up and leave home and leave family and leave loved ones. Leave the comforts of the good old USA. And if you've not been abroad, you know, you don't understand how much of the comforts we have. They leave those things so they can have fruit that abounds. Fruit that really means something. You know, we should desire the same for our missionaries and for our own local church. In order to have those, we need to be faithful in prayer and in witnessing and in giving and serving and just having that spirit of speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Our giving, and I know I'm being repetitious, but I'm kind of round in the corner here, getting ready to, I'm not done, but I'm starting to get done, okay? So don't get too anxious. Our giving to missions and praying for the missionaries helps the missionaries to bear fruit for the Lord. Do you understand that? That's why we do it, isn't it? The fruit that they bear is added to our account in heaven. I believe that I have an account in heaven. I believe if you're a Christian, you have an account in heaven. And I know different sizes of accounts, so that God will take care of all that. But we all have an account in heaven. And the fruit that we bear in our lives makes an account in heaven. It gathers treasures in heaven. But then when we support others that bear fruit, we're also adding to that account in heaven. Our rewards in heaven are determined, I believe, by our account in heaven. Have you ever thought of that? Our rewards, when it's all said and done, will be determined by those treasures we've laid up in heaven. Please understand, the treasures are not just laid up by giving money. They're laid up by faithful service and faithful walk and winning souls and all those other things that we're supposed to do. But giving does add to the account. Thank God that it does. Now, having said that, I believe the message is simple enough and clear enough. We're all getting it. He was commending the church for the offering they gave, and he said, what you've given to my ministry abounds to your account. It adds to your treasures in heaven. You say, you could have just said that and be done. I know, but that's not what preachers do, okay? So hopefully you get that. Well, this Sunday, I asked your pastor if I could have one of your faith promise commitment cards. And this Sunday, Lord willing, you'll be filling out one of these. And between now and then, and I know many of you have already been thinking, Lord, what would you have me to do? I want to do what God wants me to do. And I'd like to suggest to you tonight some thoughts about giving. And the first one is, I know all of us, if you're conscientious about it, you think, well, how much should I give? How much should I give you? I want to give you three principles that could help you in determining how much to give in your missions offering. Would you like to have some help in seeing the mind of the Lord in this? And you say, I'm not going to give you a number, of course. But I want to go back to some place that we were earlier this week there in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, and this is concerning giving, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I remember gave the illustration about the tall corn in Indiana, and I had some Hoosiers come to me and say, oh, preacher, I know what you're talking about. And so anyway, but that's just another thing, okay? The sparingly and bountifully, you got to put the seed out there. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You know, the tithe is easy because it's just a math equation, amen? 10%, move the decimal place, decimal point, one place to the left and you got it. It's real easy with the tithe to know what to give. But this, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. How much should I give? First of all, you should give an amount that you can cheerfully give. And that goes two ways. I personally, and I think many here would share with me in this, I couldn't cheerfully give to missions if I thought I was just getting by with the least I could give. You follow what I'm saying? I wouldn't feel good about what I'm giving if I wasn't giving something I thought meant something. An old preacher told me years ago, it's not how much you give, it's how much you have left after you give. Think about that. I think we ought to give enough that we can be cheerful about the fact I gave this and I feel good about this amount. I think it's going to help. Okay? But also, I think we should not give so much that we give grudgingly. You say, preacher, you tell us not to give to you. I'm saying you can't be glad you gave it if you make it a big burden to yourself or an albatross around you. Are you following what I'm saying? Can't give cheerfully. If you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So I think cheerful is the balance in there. Everybody following? Now, you will find, and many of you already know this, you will find you can give much more cheerfully today than you could when you started it, when you started giving, unless you've had a big decrease, you know, in income along the way. But I think that this idea of giving enough to feel good about what you're giving, I want to do that. And I'm not talking about being prideful, just cheerful. Yes, Lord, I'm glad you enabled me to do that. Secondly, I believe we ought to give, when we figure out what we're going to give, it ought to be based upon an amount that recognizes the worthiness of the cause. The worthiness of the cause. I don't know of a more worthy cause, do you? The cause of worldwide missions. You know, at Christmas time, every once in a while, I'll put a little bit in a red pot, and I'm not against doing that. I think it's good to help people and all that. And I think that has some worth or value to it, but it pales in comparison to the worthiness of reaching souls for Jesus Christ around the world. I believe if I want to major on stewardship of my money, I want to be in the right place when it has to do with giving to the Lord's work. The worthiness of the cause, and I think also amount that recognizes the law of sowing and reaping. And we've already talked about that. But if you want to reap not just financial return for yourself, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about if you want to reap a greater harvest of souls, you need to invest more in the seed. And the way we invest in the seed is investing in our missionaries and investing in the cause. And so if we want to reap a greater harvest of God's work being forwarded, I think it makes sense. I don't mean this in a bad way, but you kind of get what you pay for. But in this respect, we get a lot more than we pay for, really. Whether it's a lot or a little. And then the third thing, how much should I give? An amount you can give cheerfully, amount that recognizes the worthiness of the cause and the law of sowing and reaping, and then hopefully more than last year. Hopefully more than last year. I think all of us ought to consider, God, how much would you have me to give or allow me to give? And I think all of us ought to be hoping, oh God, I hope you'll allow me to do more. You know, if nothing else, more, we think of taking on more missionaries, and that's true, but do you know missionaries are affected by inflation too? And I don't know how this church does, it's your business what you do, but I made a policy years ago in our church, when a missionary comes home and gives a report, we give him a $25 raise because it's probably been 4 or 5 years since we've heard from them. And I know that their expenses have gone up. And I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just saying there needs to be a means for them to continue to have more because they need more to carry on. But I want to do more than keep up with inflation, don't you? And our giving allows us to do that. I hope you'll consider doing more than you did last year. So how much should I give based on those three things? And then three words to give to remember in our giving, and I'll be done, in our missions giving. First of all, there's the word faith. We call it a faith promise offering. Faith that God will supply it for you to be able to give. I'm glad that Juan and I have over the years been able to pray and ask God what to do. And sometimes, a lot of times it's been a stretch. And think, well, I hope we'll be able to do that. And we say, if God will make it possible for me to give, doesn't mean He has to make it convenient for me to give. He doesn't have to make it easy for me to give. That doesn't mean that I'll give only if I can have a new car every year and blah, 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 you know what I'm talking about. I think there's joy in sacrificing, personally. I really do. I believe that. And I believe sometimes, every once in a while, and again, it's not a prideful thing, but every once in a while, we'll look at the end of the year at our giving receipt and see what God's allowed us to give. And we're so grateful that God has allowed us to, because you don't know along the way. I don't figure up the first year, you know, all the ins and outs of that. But by the end of the year, it comes in. And you know, you could say, boy, I could have done some stuff with that. But I'm sure glad, you know, other stuff, secular stuff with that. But I'm glad that God led us to choose to invest it in His work. We need to understand, It's a matter of faith that God will supply it for you to be able to give, and faith that God will use it to further His kingdom. Anytime we send money to missionaries, we have faith that they're going to use it well and wisely for the furtherance of the kingdom, and that God will bless it and use it. And then that God will bless you for your humble giving. He'll bless you for your humble giving. Now, this is another message in and of itself. But sometimes God blesses us in areas that are totally unrelated to finances, but they're blessings upon our finances because of our giving. You follow what I'm saying? God does not compartmentalize our lives. And the truth of the matter is, if I never see an ounce of finance come back from it, but God blesses my children, my grandchildren, God blesses our church. Are you following what I'm saying? God gives me another year of health. It's not always blessings that it has to do in dollars and cents. There's a lot more important blessings than that. But I can say this, a lot of times it is in dollars and cents. Many testimonies probably have been given in this church, and many I could give tonight about that. God does bless in those ways. Faith, He'll supply it, He'll use it, and He'll bless you for your humble gift. And then love is another word to consider in giving. The best way I know how to say it is, love gives, selfishness keeps. Love gives. There was a time when King David had committed a sin in numbering the people. If you remember the story there, numbering his army, and it was a matter of pride, I believe, it went into that, and God judged the people, and there was many who died because of God's judgment there, and there came a time for David to offer a sacrifice to God, to pride, stay the hand of the Lord in this thing, and there was a man by the name of Arana, who had a threshing floor where he was going to offer this sacrifice. And Arana said, King, I will supply the animals. I will supply the wood for the fire. I'll take care of it, King. Let me take care of it. And David's answer was, neither will I offer that which doth cost me nothing. My goal in giving is not so God will give it all back. My goal in giving is not so it'll not cost me anything. Giving is an act of worship. It's an expression of love. Love gives. And thirdly, the word faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So there's faith that God will supply it and use it and bless it, or bless you for it. There's love. We give because love gives. And we're faithful. The way I say it to our people, and I'll say it to you like this as well. If you mark a faith promise card for so much a week, and I know you have the choice of month or whatever, but I'm just using week here. If you mark an amount per week, at the end of 52 weeks, you should have given 52 times that to missions, if not more. Amen? I know you're probably not here every Sunday, but you can leave it before you go away or make it up when you get back. Faithful giving, God honors that. And if it's a monthly, the same thing. 12 times, whatever you promise. Now, nobody's going to come around and say, now, I noticed here, because I don't even know what you promised. But you'll know. And let me tell you tonight, God honors faithfulness. So having said that tonight, I want to wrap my thoughts up with the thought of fruit that may abound to your account. I want to have the best account waiting on me when I get there that I can have, don't you? By my life, by my efforts, by my service. And what a great, great opportunity to give. The Lord only knows what He's going to do with these missionaries going out. The Lord only knows what He has done and is doing with the missionaries you already support. But if you're giving to missions, you're having a part in all of that. Let's bow our heads tonight, please.